great to be here today and be a part of you guys. Thank you, John. And as I said, Pastor Dan's out of town, and so those of you that maybe it's your first time or you haven't got to meet me yet, I'm Pastor Rob, executive pastor here, and I'm excited for the opportunities that I do get to preach and to bring the word. I don't feel that it's my particular gift like Pastor Dan, but I do enjoy because it challenges me when I study. And so when he asked me about filling in while he's gone on the new year, I thought about the fact of it being a new year. And I thought about the word new and how often we use it, what it means to me and what it means to people in general. If you think about it, we use the term new probably very often. And a lot of times people say, hey, it's Sunday, it's a new week, right? We talk about every day, I'm going to start my day. Today is a new day. And then obviously we're here today, we're able to say yesterday was a great way to start the new year, right? So what about that word new? We keep hearing it. Now, we just saw it in a verse that we're going to be in this morning. So if you have your Bible or a device of some kind, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to be this morning. I've got a lot of other verses that I'll show you on the screen, but we're going to be looking at pretty much the entire chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you can grab that, that would be fantastic. We all like new things though, right? I mean, we just celebrated Christmas. We gathered together with family and we opened gifts probably. Did anybody open a gift though that was like a 10, 15 year old gift that somebody just kind of like said, I don't want this anymore, and wrapped it up for you and gave it to you? Nobody's probably going to admit that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I don't know if maybe somebody in here wrapped up a gift that was, you know, used and decided that, hey, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to give it up. People do that. I know that. But the reality is when we're getting gifts or even if we're going out to purchase something, typically if we can, you know, I know we want to be frugal and if we can find something used, we'll do that. But what's better, new or used? New, right? We want to look for something new. I know recently I did not buy Colleen a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. It just happens that our vacuum cleaner died right at Christmas, and we've had it for a long time. So we did buy a vacuum cleaner, but I said, this is not your Christmas present, I promise. So we got a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. 2 days ago, our washer and dryer went out. So our dryer's been out for a while. It's kind of cool. I take the top off and I tap on it and it works for a while. I've been doing that for a few years. The washer, though, finally, I replaced parts and pieces on it, and I was finally done with it. We've had it for like 16 years. I said, okay, we got our money's worth out of these. So we went and bought some new washer and dryers. Was not intended, but I figured, well, let's finish the year off right and get rid of these so we don't have to buy them next year. But we went and we found new ones, and because we want to find something without defect, without wear, something that's dependable, because Colleen, with three teenagers in our house, plus myself and her, she does laundry like every day. And so it's important, and she loves the vacuum almost every day. So we got a good vacuum, good washer and dryer, we're good for a while. But, you know, usually when we're looking for things, we want to find something new. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, if we look at the character of God himself, he likes new. I mean, he created Adam and Eve in the beginning new, right? He didn't say, hey, let me find this and we'll repurpose it and we'll make some people out of it. No, he created them new. In fact, I want you to see here in a verse, Revelation 21 up on the screen, starting in verse 1. John's writing this, okay? John's being told what to write, and he says, then I saw, actually this is what he sees physically, what God's showing him. He says, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Because the heaven and the earth that we know in existence right now, it's corrupt. It's not going to always be here. But he says, a new heaven, a new earth. Wait, go back. I wasn't done yet. Sorry. We jumped ahead. If we can go back. There we go. He says, I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So we see God's created a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heavens saying, look, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now look at verse 4. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be neither shall there be any more sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. Amen. We're looking forward to that day, right? And he says, we know that exists now, but he said, there's going to be a day when it doesn't, for the former things are passed away. He who is seated on the throne says this, look, I am making all things what? New. He says, then he said with me, write, for these words are faithful and what? True. I'm going to make all things new. So, excuse me. When Pastor Dan had asked me about doing the message on this first Sunday of the year, that word new kept sticking out to me. And I went in Scripture because I knew the verse, my heart, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And it says, old things are the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as I was reading that, and this is something I want to challenge you with today. You know, I don't know how you did in 2021 as far as just getting to know God better, studying the Bible, reading, understanding more about Jesus. But I want to encourage you that 2022, you take some time to really get to know who God is through His Word. And that doesn't just mean that, okay, today I read a chapter or I read a verse or whatever. It means purposely sitting down and saying, okay, God, what can I get from this passage or this chapter or whatever? And so it's not about how much you can read in a year, but about how much you can take in a year, what you can really understand. Excuse me, I'm getting dry after three services. See, I don't do this all the time like Pastor Dan does. I appreciate it. So, if you're going to really get something out of God's Word, it takes a little bit more time of understanding what it's saying. And in reading 2 Corinthians 5:17, I mean, one, it stands out that he uses the word new twice. So it's got to be important, right? Anytime we repeat something, it's important. And if we break down that word new, and we look at what it really means, in the original Greek that the Bible was written in, that word new here in the New Testament is from the Greek word that represents the form of recently made. Excuse me. So if you think about it, we just had Christmas. How many of you, like your wife or mom or somebody, grandmother's always a great one, just bake something fresh at Christmas, right? Some fresh cookies, maybe fresh bread or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. But it's fresh, right? And it smells good. It's recently made. Nobody wants to sit down at Christmas dinner and like, hey, yeah, we made this 3 weeks ago. Here it is. Enjoy. You know, you want something that was recently made, something that's fresh. That means it's new. That's what that word new means. It's fresh. It also, when it deals with like a substance of any kind, it's from the Greek word that means a new kind. Now, I thought that was interesting. If we think about it, what Paul was writing here to the church, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, well, what's the in Christ mean? It means somebody who is yielded to Jesus Christ, meaning that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect, sinless life, that he died on the cross, and the death on the cross was our death that we deserved. He took that upon himself and conquered death so that we could have eternal life with him. He provides forgiveness through his sacrifice, okay? And that means if we put our faith and trust in him, make him our Lord and Savior, then we are in Christ. And if any man is in Christ, they put their faith and trust in Jesus and they're saved, then it says he is a new creature or a new creation, right? Now, word new means it's something that did not exist before. This is what's cool. If you think about it, what the Bible says is the person that you were before you trusted Jesus is completely different. It is not the same person at all after you trust Jesus. You have been made completely new. Okay, you might look in the mirror and you're like, I still look the same, but you are not the same, I promise you. Because God's word says that at that moment, he has placed his Holy Spirit within you, and he has made you a new creature, something that did not exist before. So God didn't just like renew you or refinish you or fix you. He said, no, I'm going to make you new, completely new. In fact, he goes on to say in that, the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So the idea of this newness that we have the moment that we trust Christ is incredible because it's that newness that now equips us to be able to put on the new man. You say, well, what is that? I want you to understand that when Jesus died on the cross and he paid for the penalty of sin for the whole world, now it's on us individually to accept that, you know, and once we do, the Bible says that's when we're saved. He didn't just die so that we could have eternal life. He provides so much more than just eternal life. Within his death, burial, and resurrection, when we put our faith and trust in him, it now prepares us and makes us ready to receive the new man. We can't have the new man until we've trusted Jesus Christ. We're not equipped for it. We can't do it. He makes us a new creature so that we can now put on the new man. I want you to see this verse in Galatians 6:15. It says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything." What's he talking about? In the Old Testament, like Aiden was talking about with Nehemiah, if you were an Israelite, Jerusalem was the holy area and specifically where the temple was, where they would worship God. But in order for you to be an Israelite, you had to identify with the people of Israel and their God, and it was through circumcision. So circumcision was the identifier, and it came with a whole set of laws and things that they would have to follow as well. But now, notice what Paul says. For in Christ Jesus, this in Christ, what we read also is the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. He said, hey, that doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you are now a new creation. But a new creation. If you're not a new creation, that means it's because you haven't trusted Christ, and therefore you are not a new creation. But now as a new creation, you have a new life. Notice what he says here in Ephesians 4:23. He talks about the renewing. And he talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? That's where every day we have the opportunity to go back and let our mind be renewed. Because guess what? You live in a corrupt world. 5 minutes on the television and you can be corrupted or less. Scrolling social media within seconds, corruption is entering your mind. I mean, just in your workplace, in school, it doesn't matter. We live in a world where corruption's everywhere. We can't avoid it, and this is not what God intended, which is why he said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth, okay? But until then, we live in the corruption, so we have to be renewed on a regular basis. And he says in verse 24, and that you put on what? The new man, all right? Stay with me now. Now, you guys are 11 o'clock. You should be wide awake. I know you're hungry. If you're like me, you're hungry by now, but you should still be awake. So he says, you're putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what the new man looks like versus the old man. In fact, we see it again in 2 Corinthians 5:15. Back it up, two verses. Go there with me. And he says, and he died, the capital H meaning Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should not from now on live for themselves. This is who we were before we trust Jesus as our Savior. We live for ourselves. We are all selfish. If you don't believe me, look at any 1 or 2 year old child. Okay? They're selfish. They're born selfish because we all have the selfish nature that was instilled because of sin in Genesis chapter 3. Okay? We all have a selfish nature. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish, right? I mean, anybody with children, you know that. It's part of us in our sinfulness. So, excuse me, so that nature of sin that it was within us in verse 15, he said, that's not who you are to be anymore, all right? Jesus died so that you should not have to live unto yourself anymore, but unto him who died for them and rose again. I've got a new reason to live, and it's not for myself anymore, but it's for Christ. So, if you're like me, though, here's the problem. I know Jesus is my Savior. I know that I have the new man to put on. But I find a lot of times in the day that if I step back and I look at myself, I don't have the new man on anymore. At some point, I took it off. I forgot about it. You know, every day you have the opportunity when you wake up in the morning to put on the new man. Just like you do in your closet, right? You open your closet and you choose an outfit. You pull out your outfit, you put it on, and you're good to go. Nobody hopefully leaves the house without putting on the outfit. Okay, but how many times do we take the time to put on the new man? And how many times during the day, if we put on the new man, do we tend to take it off? Because we get in an environment or a situation where stress or anxiety or frustration, you know, causes us to throw off the new man and we get back into the old man. It's possible. I do it. But here's the question. How can we keep the new man on this new year? How can I keep the new man on a regular basis? Look, you came in today, you didn't have a handout. There's a reason for that. Keeping it simple. I'm going to give you three things you'll be able to walk out of here and you should have memorized as you go home. But I want you to take these three things that we're going to see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to be able to use them as a way to remember how to keep the new man on, or woman, whatever the case may be, all right, this year. And the first one is this. If you're going to keep on the new man in the new year, you need to trust the creator of the new man, okay? There's one creator of the new man, and that's Jesus. We have to trust it. Look with me at verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18. He says, all this is from God. Paul says, all this being in Christ, all of the things that he laid out from verses 1 all the way down, he says, are from God. The King James words it this way, all things are of God. All things are of God. He's the creator of all things. How many of you are one of those people there, when you get something new, sometimes the newness wears off, and then you begin to try to find ways to improve whatever it is you have. Make it better, right? Or maybe it's better to put it this way. How many of you, when you get something that you've been wanting for a while, all of a sudden you're not satisfied and you're looking for something better? Okay? A few more people are identifying with me. That's me. I'm guilty of that. Growing up, good example of it was a TV show I enjoyed watching. I don't know how many of you watched it, but it was called Home Improvement. How many of you know Home Improvement? Okay, I see some of the, yeah, y'all with my age and up or know it. So Home Improvement was a great TV show. Tim Allen, you know, he was Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? But he was notorious for always having some kind of tool and thinking that it didn't have enough what? Power. So he would try to do something to make it better, make it more powerful, and it always inevitably just went to chaos, right? But how much of that mirrors our lives sometimes? God's provided us everything we need, and we think, yeah, God, perfect, but a little bit more of this, and it'll be just right. And then chaos ensues when we try to add to what God's already made perfect. And that's what we do, because we don't trust the Creator. God says, no, look, I've given you everything. I've equipped you. I've made you perfect in my image. Trust it. Trust me. I created it. I created you in my image, and it's good. And so, therefore, we struggle to remember that God is the creator. Here's a couple of verses to kind of remind you of it. Psalms 102:25 says this, from before you, speaking to God, have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of what? Your hands. God is the creator of it, of his hands. Look with me at John 1:3. John puts it this way. All things were created through him, capital H, speaking of Christ. All things were created through him, and without him, nothing was created that was created. He is the one and only creator. And therefore, we have to recognize that. So this life that I have in Christ, you know, both my physical life, God created man in his image. The only thing that he created in his image. He created it perfect. Now, are there deficiencies in us? Yes. That's not God's fault. That's the world of sin, because sin entered into the world by man. But God created us in his image, and the new man that he created for us to put on through Christ is perfect. It's a perfect man. And we have to trust that man. It's the man that is full of love, compassion, meekness, the fruit of the Spirit that we learned about at the beginning of 2021 for months that Pastor Dan took us through. You know, that new man is one that we have to put on, and it's perfect. But we have to trust that God created it perfectly. And when sometimes things don't feel right, like we're kind of missing out and we need to add to it, we have to realize that, nope, God's given us just what we need. We have to trust the Creator. But the second thing is this. Not only do you trust the Creator, but you have to trust the warranty. All right, trust the warranty. Some of you guys just choked when I said warranty because you're like, I hate warranties. You just got a phone call today, so it's somebody telling you that your car's warranty is about up and you need to renew it. Right? You're like, I don't even own that car. What are you talking about? So, but warranties. And the new thing is this, right? Lifetime warranty. That's a joke. All right. Lifetime warranty. Asterisk, small print. Follow these 30 pages of documents, and the warranty will be covered if you can do that. Nobody can do that. But God's warranty doesn't work that way. God's got a warranty that you will never find through any manufacturer or anybody else in your life. It's a warranty for eternity with no fine print, nothing. It's perfect. It's that warranty that says, look, you put your faith and trust in me, I'll take care of the rest. You know, in life, we tend to get stressed out when things don't go our way, right? And when things aren't going the way that we think they should, you know, we don't know where to turn. And just like in a warranty in your car, if things are going wrong, you know, if you haven't taken the proper care of the car, then the warranty expires. Well, in your life, your warranty's not going to expire with God, but we need to go back to him and trust what he said that he's going to do. You know, we said there in Revelation 21 about God's going to create a new heaven, a new earth. Jesus said, I'm going to come back. He told the disciples that, hey, I've got to leave so the comforter can come. You know, Jesus left. And get this here and go back to the text, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Notice what he says here about the life that we're living right now. He says, we know that our earthly house, this tent, were to be dissolved. All right, the tent he's talking about is the body that we live in. These are temporary, right? Nobody lives long-term in a tent. You go camping, you're in the tent for a while, but eventually you go back home into a dwelling. The tent is temporary. So he said, if our earthly house, this tent, were to be destroyed, we have an eternal building of God in the heavens, a house not made with hands. In this one, we groan, talking about this body, this tent we live in right now, we groan, earnestly desiring to be sheltered with our house, which is from heaven. Thus being sheltered, we shall not be found unsheltered. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, right? How many of us are burdened in the life that we live today? How many of us groan and complain about the life that we live today, whether it's physical pains, stresses of life? Look, what's so cool is God says, look, I understand that life is not what I intended for it to be. Do you think God intended for man to have groaning and burden? That wasn't what he in the garden he designed. It wasn't there before Genesis 3. There was no groaning. There was no burdens. It was perfect. That's what God intended. It was when man sought to add to it, going back to what the first one was. Adam and Eve didn't trust the Creator when he said, hey, this is all you need. This is perfect. Satan came in and said, hey, but if you eat that fruit, you're going to be as gods. Oh, a little upgrade. We can do that. And then all things fell apart because sin entered into the world through their disobedience. So, but what God is saying is that, hey, I understand there's a burden. I know that there is a groaning going on right now in the life and the bodies that you live in, but it's not always going to be that way. I've got an eternal home for you, made without hands. Notice verse 5. Now he, capital H, who has created us for this very thing is God, who also has given to us the what? Guarantee of the Spirit. Spirit of holiness. He's given us a guarantee. He's given us a warranty for eternity. I love that. Because he says, I've got something better coming for you. You have to trust the warranty. And God's provided that warranty to promise to fix all the defects. There's no small print in the warranty. There's not a certain thing that you have to do in order to get it. No, he said, it's done. I took care of it myself. It's been paid for. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I love what Paul says here in Ephesians 4:30. He puts it this way. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed, right? How many of you had leftovers after Thanksgiving or Christmas? What do? You put it into a container and you seal it to keep it fresh until the day you're ready to redeem it, right? Take it back out, reheat it, and eat it. Just don't let it go too long. That's the beauty of what God's doing with us. We're sealed until the day of redemption. We don't, lose our expiration date. So But that's what the idea here is, that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, hey, I've got to leave because I'm going to leave my comforter. He's coming. He's going to be the one to seal you. He's going to come. He's going to seal you until I come back for you. This is the reality that we need to recognize, is the Creator's coming back. You see? And he's going to come back to redeem us. That's part of the guarantee. Part of the guarantee that's there in 2 Corinthians 5:5. It's the guarantee that he's provided for us. It's that warranty. So that new man that we have, the new man of Christ that we need to put on, comes with a warranty as well. Hey, you put this on and you'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have long suffering. It's part of the new man. But you gotta put it on. You gotta trust the Creator. Trust the warranty. But the third thing is this, that new man, and this is really the one I think that we have to focus on, because I think many times we get misled or we misunderstand. But if we're going to keep the new man on, we need to trust the purpose. Trust the purpose of the new man. See, there's a purpose to when we get something new, right? I told you, we got a new washer and dryer, new vacuum. There's a purpose to those. We didn't bring the washer into the house and put it in the kitchen hoping to, like, make food out of it, you know? Side note, I remember my mom one time made salmon in the dishwasher. That was weird. But I guess you use the steam cycle. I don't know why you would do it. But anyways, Google it, I guess. But so there's a purpose for that new item. So if you've been made a new creation, we said that was made through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for a new creation. Now we have a new man to put on. There's a purpose for that new man. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5 again, and I want you to see the purpose of this life that we have in Christ. Notice what Paul says starting in verse 15, we said that he died for all, that those who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16, so from now on we do not regard anyone according to the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we do not regard him as such from now on. What's Paul saying? Look, yes, we knew Christ according to the flesh. We saw Christ. We could touch Christ. We talked to Christ. Jesus was here physically in the flesh. There was a time when Jesus was here, Paul says, but he's not here now. In fact, he told his disciples, look, I have to go so that my spirit can come, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. So Paul's identifying that, yeah, Jesus was here in the flesh, but he's not here any longer. Therefore, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. The us is not Paul and his companions. The us is the body of Christ, the people who have put their faith and trust in Christ, the people who, according to verse 17, are in Christ. That's the us that Paul's talking about. And so he says, we have this message of reconciliation, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Here is my purpose. I am an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. You see, Paul said, Jesus isn't here any longer, church, in the flesh. But he's given you the new man to put on so people could still see Jesus here. A representation, an ambassador. That's what the word ambassador means. You get in this year and you begin to study out the Bible, take it slow, just dissect words, and you'll find out that things like that. Ambassador literally means a representative or to represent something. What am I supposed to represent? Represent Jesus to the people in your life. What's my purpose? I don't understand. Teaching teenagers for so many years, that was one of the things I probably got questioned about the most from teenagers. I don't know what God's plan for my life is. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what my purpose is. And it doesn't just stop with teenagers. I talk to adults all the time that have the same question. I don't know what God wants me to do. Can I show you? Because he told you. He wants you to be a representative of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life on the cross so you could have eternal life, but it didn't end there. He said, I'm also going to give you the new man to put on, which is created in righteousness, because you're not righteous. And guess what? You can't put on righteousness until you know my son. Once you know him, you're a new creature. Guess what? Now you can put on righteousness. Because the righteousness isn't a self-glory for yourself. The righteousness is to point to him who is righteous. The purpose is for you to represent Christ. I want you to look at this, Romans chapter 8, up on the screen. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Here we go again. We're talking about this thing of being in Christ. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, according to the flesh is what I just read to you moments ago, 2 Corinthians 5:15, living unto myself. That's walking in the flesh. But instead, he died so that I no longer have to live unto myself, but unto him. That's in the Spirit, according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God knew what I could not do, so he said, hey, I'll do it for you. And concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. In order, the purpose of that was that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. But what I tell you earlier, you put on the man, what do you get? You get life and peace. You put on the new man. He says, my purpose for you is to have a righteous life for others to see who Jesus is. Let me give you one last passage. I want you to see this. It's Colossians 3:12. Again, first two words, what? Put on. This is up to you. Okay, Jesus took care of the part we could not do. And that was for our eternal life and salvation. But he says, I've given you a new man, but you've got to put it on. You've got to choose to put it on. And what happens when you put it on? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Who does that sound like? Jesus. That's who he is. He's not here any longer, but he says, hey, I'm leaving the new man for you to put on because people need to see this. People need to see me. And it's now I've made you a new creature so you can put it on so people can see me until I come back. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love. It's the bond of perfectness. Now notice this, here's the key. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now here's the kicker, here's the key verse. God, I don't know what you want me to do in my life. I don't know what job you want me to have. I don't know what people you want me to hang out with. I don't know what school you want me to go to, what college. I hear those ones. God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what your plan is. And what's the next word? Come on. Whatsoever. God says, I don't care what your choice is. As long as you do in word and deed, you do all the things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If you're sitting back waiting for God to tell you what he wants you to do, he's already told you. He said, I just want you to glorify my son. I want you to make Jesus known. I want you to live a life at the workplace, at home, on the ball team, at school, wherever. I want you to live your life in a way that people see Jesus. The way they saw him for the 33 years that he lived on the earth, a perfect, sinless life that loved everyone. He said, that's what I want you to do. I don't care where you do it, how you do it. As long as those things are fulfilled, then you know you're in the right place doing the right thing. Don't forget the purpose. Trust the purpose. But you can't put on the new man if you're not in Christ, if you're not a new creation. So it's the difference between the new creation and the new man. The new creation is something entirely different than what it was before Jesus. If you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. Now you are equipped to put on the new man. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Savior, you've never come to a point of accepting him as your Lord and Savior, you can't put on the new man. You can't put on that meekness, that righteousness, and those things. Because look, I've seen people who don't know Jesus try to put on righteous, and it's called self-righteous. It's a turnoff. It's not an attraction. But people who know Jesus put on the new man, that righteousness is attractive. And it shows people what true love and righteousness looks like. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Rob, I'm not sure that I have what you're talking about. I'm in Christ or a relationship with him. Look, today, what an incredible day to make 2022. January 2nd, 2022, a day that you first came to know Christ as your Savior. It's a one-time deal. And you're sealed for eternity, and the warranty is good. You say, how do I do that? What I want us to do is bow our heads and close our eyes.